Welcome to Monday's edition of Faith on the Line with Amazing Discoveries. Today, Brian Newman continues this insightful series on music, media, and the mind. Brian Newman has spent more than 16 years in the rock music industry, and since his return to Jesus, has been doing extensive research for the past 9 years into the language of music, its effects on people, and the spiritual, mental, and physical implications attached to choosing the right or wrong kinds of music. Brian has lectured in countries such as Germany, Austria, the Czech Republic, Poland, South Africa, United States, and Canada. After coming back from his California tour, we are pleased to have Brian in studio for this valuable series on music. And now, here's Brian.
Well, welcome once again to our Voices of a Dying Planet series. We are kind of entering into a new phase in our study now, and we are going to be looking at some very interesting topics, historical topics, topics related to different kinds of forms of religion and worship. And sometimes while we are going into it, you may be tempted to wonder, well, what does this actually have to do with music? But hang in there, you will see the connection with what we are dealing with in our current music scene is very interesting and very important to have a knowledge of. But before we actually do that, we need to establish a very important biblical principle. And I'd like to go to the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to start off with, where John writes, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test or try the spirits to see whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So don't just believe everything that you hear. Test it. Don't believe every spirit. Test it to see if it is from God, if it conforms to His criteria, to His standards, to His principles. For and like we said in our earlier seminars, if there's a decision that I want to make, I need to test that decision, not based on my emotional state, but based on good, solid biblical principles and guidelines. Speaking about the same aspect of false prophets, Christ said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 16, he said, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Can you pick grapes from a thorn bush? Can you pick figs from a thistle bush? Obviously not. Good fruit comes from a good tree." So we want to look at the tree, and of course ultimately we will also want to look at the fruits, because when you look at the fruits, certainly you'll have some idea as to what kind of tree that was possibly picked from. So these are some of the biblical principles that we want to apply to our study into our modern contemporary forms of music during these next few sessions. Let's start off by asking a very interesting and very important vital question. How far back does the history behind modern popular music go? And what modes, or in other words, styles of music can we put into the present popular musical category? And indeed, why? First of all, a statement, and that is that the vital elements that make modern popular music what it is are almost as old as the history of this planet. Now, it's easy to think, as most of us do if we don't have the knowledge of the origins, that what we are dealing with today in our modern music forms, in all the different styles and atmospheres, is something new that's never been heard before. But they are not. They are very old. Whether you are talking about blues, jazz, rock and roll, country rock, rock, metal, thrash, punk, house music, rap, rave, techno, whatever it may be, in all their various forms, they share a vital link with the ancient past that ties them all together. What could that vital link be that all these different forms of music, and of course today in our in the music industry calls itself the rock and roll music industry, but inherent, intrinsic in all in the rock and roll music industry are all these different styles, like those we have just mentioned, rap, techno, rave, and so on, and rock and roll and heavy metal and thrash and punk and so on. They all are part of the rock and roll music scene. But there is a link, and we want to know what the vital link is that all these different forms of music share with one another. And as I have already suggested, it is a link that goes back way, way into ancient history, into the ancient past. In fact, it is a link that had to do musically, in the musical context of it, with different kinds of worship that were used in ancient times. In a book written by Jonathan Goldman, Healing Sounds, The Power of Harmonics, he speaks about the use of music in some of these ancient religious ceremonies. And he says, and I quote, "The use of music in sacred ceremonies and shamanic rituals has occurred since ancient times. It has recently been verified that sound can be used to affect and change our brain waves." Of course, we have already established that music indeed can affect our brains, our emotions, and so on. But he goes on to say, "The changes of these rates creates changes in consciousness, allowing mystically altered states to be induced. The relationship between occult wisdom and sound may at first seem far removed. Yet," he says, "in the ancient mystery schools of Egypt, Rome, Greece, Tibet, India, and other centers of learning, knowledge of sound was a highly refined science." What he's talking about here is about a particular atmosphere or particular something that was used in the music that helped to facilitate changes in our brain waves, altered states of consciousness. What we want to know is what the key element of this highly refined musical or sound science actually was. This we are going to attempt to make very clear during the course of our next few studies. But before we even look at the actual musical elements, we have to look at something else, where this actually found its roots, what it was actually the philosophy that all of this was grounded in. And it actually had to do with a religious, with a worship system. We can get a lot of the information, and I'm going to refer to some of it and garner some of it from a book that was written by that was actually commissioned by UNESCO, which is the branch of the United Nations. And the person who does the foreword in the book is Frederico Mayer, who is the Director General of UNESCO. And basically it is a study into the sun in myth and art. Really what it boils down to is to sun worship. Now of course sun worship played a very important role in many, many different kinds of cultures in the world. I would first of all like to look at it though from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective. For those who understand and have studied into this, you will understand even more clearly what I'm referring to. The Bible speaks of a man by the name of Nimrod, whom the Bible says was a mighty warrior before or against the Lord. Nimrod was the man who established Baal worship. It was when Nimrod died that his wife claimed that she became impregnated by him, or by the sun rather, because he became, when he died, the sun god. And when she became impregnated by him, she was then pregnant, she was going to give birth to the sun god child, who actually ultimately, when he was born, became a regurgitation of the sun deity, the sun god himself as well. This pagan form of religion ultimately was the system of worship that was used by the people who were at that time building the Tower of Babel. And when they built the Tower of Babel, of course, they were the people who were not the people who were worshipping God. This is why God actually came and confused the languages and sent them to different parts of the world. And it was at that time when God confused the languages and they went to different parts of the world that they took with them these concepts of worship that were connected to pagan sun worship. So that's why today, if you go to the Tibetans in India, or if you go down to South America to the Aztecs or Mexico, or if you go down to the Aborigines in Australia or to Africa or any part of the world, you will find that intrinsic in their worship is this concept of the worship of the sun deity, or the sun. You will find that in European worship, in pagan systems of European worship, sun worship was very important. The Druids, for example, had different ceremonies. Stonehenge today, they still practice these. The folk who are still into the sun worship or the ancient forms of druidic worship. Sun worship was intrinsic in the European worship and in any other aspect. For example, at the River Ganges, if you go to India, you will find that still today they will go into the water at the River Ganges and will lift their arms and greet the sun as it rises in the morning for their morning prayers, welcoming, as it were, the sun god. You can go down to Africa and you will find in the different masks and things that are used in the African pagan ritual forms of worship that the sun deity is represented, either as a disc or some kind of representation of the sun deity. Another aspect which is very important is the use of the moon or the quarter moon shape and a star, or which represents a sun, sinking into the moon, because the moon represented the female deity. In other words, the womb of the mother who is being impregnated by the sun, as Nimrod's wife was, as she claimed he was, who would then ultimately give birth to the sun god child. Sun worship became a very intrinsic part, and there was a certain system of worship where music played a very important role that was used in this sun worship, to make the sun worship experience actually happen. What we want to know, though, of course, is how pagan sun worship actually became integrated into our modern music forms. And indeed, if it did, I mean, right now as we're discussing this, it may seem absolutely ridiculous to think that these things really have any connection to our modern musical forms. But, as I mentioned, we need to look at the roots, because that will give us some idea as to what we are dealing with in our present time. So it's a very interesting and very important study that we are doing. Let's refer, for example, to a system of sun worship which is still practiced today, or pagan worship which is still practiced today, which people commonly know as voodoo. And I'm going to go to voodoo because voodoo is really getting to the more recent roots of that which lies behind our modern music forms. The follower of voodoo, maybe we can discuss what happens at a voodoo ritual very briefly. The follower of voodoo seeks to incorporate a lesser god into himself by writhing and leaping through a dance while the drums bang out complex rhythms. When just the right rhythm is found for an individual lesser god, the dancer takes it up, and then the lesser god enters his soul. His physical and mental powers are immediately heightened, and he becomes apparently godlike himself. Animals will often be sacrificed to appease the spirits, and the religion, this form of religion, is strictly Dionysian, which means it is sensual and it is unrestrained. And the dances or worship sessions, if you would call it that, often end in wholesale copulation, in other words, in a sexual orgasm or orgy. Three elements very important to notice that are involved. One is not mentioned yet. The other one which is used is the use of certain herbs or drugs, as it may be called, to heighten this kind of experience that they are having a part in. There is the music, which is the drums banging out the complex rhythms. There is the sexuality, as mentioned as well. And then there is the drug aspect, which are all part of this voodoo ritual worship experience that takes place. I want you to keep those three elements in your mind. We will be highlighting them and bringing them to your attention again later on during many of our seminars. But notice, of course, importantly, as we saw earlier on when we read about the use of music in shamanic rituals, that music plays an important role in this experience. But what is, though, the history and philosophy behind voodoo? We want to look at the philosophy, especially with relation to worship and the music that is involved in the voodoo ritual. And we are going to concentrate specifically now on voodoo ritual, the African connection, because this is where we find the connection to our modern music forms. To the tribal peoples in Africa, for example, religious worship is seen as a bodily celebration, a physical celebration. This is why, you will remember we looked at our three categories in music the other day, melody, harmony, and rhythm. And this is why rhythm or beat in their worship is so accentuated, because they are focusing on the physical aspect. And this is very important to recognize, that in pagan worship, the physical is always emphasized, not necessarily the spiritual and the intellectual, as we look at the way the human organism is affected by the three categories in music. It is interesting to note that the symbol that is used for this physical and spiritual intersection is the sign of the cross. because they believe in the crossroads between the physical and the spiritual worlds. At that point where the music takes over and the trance-like state of mind is induced, as we have already spoken of in our in the previous statements, the altered state of consciousness, in other words, that is being induced. At that point where the spirit comes in, that is where the crossroad takes place between the physical and the spiritual world. And the sign of the cross is the one which is used. You can go to the Aztecs in India, in Mexico. You can go to any pagan culture around the world, and they will use the sign of the cross to be a symbol of that crossroads experience. The goal of the African religion is to experience with their bodies, a bodily experience, the crossroads of the physical and spiritual worlds. It is interesting to notice as well that regarding the drum, and while I mention the drum, of course I want to emphasize that the drum is not necessarily an evil or bad thing, but within the context of what we're looking at, we have to make it clear what the drum actually symbolized, because this became the major instrument that was used to create the rhythm in the Buddha ritual pagan kind of ceremony. The drum was actually a symbol of the sun god deity that we have already described to you, and the history, of course, behind the sun god deity, which we have described as well. The symbol, of course, it symbolized the sun god, and the tightly stretched skin over the head of the drum represents the tightly stretched stomach of the mother ready to give birth to the child, the sun god child, which is about to be born. Very, very, very important and interesting concept. And it is also interesting to notice that the African drums are considered sacred. They are washed, they are put to rest, and they are worshipped as deities. And the belief is that the drums are the ears of the gods, and that they should be played with an attitude that you are speaking to the gods on behalf of humanity. Religious ceremonies cannot begin until the dancers have saluted the drummers. So in other words, the drums are actually idols that are used in a pagan ceremonial ritual worship. Now, let's look for a little while at how the drums were actually utilized in this religious experience. And this is going to be a very, very important part of our study, which we will at least begin in this segment and continue with in our second part. But first of all, let me describe it. Each percussive or vocal part has a slightly different rhythm, which coincides with and sometimes crosses other rhythms, or the guiding pulse, that means the main beat, at strategic moments. The drummers often shuffle their feet or sway their bodies in dance-like motions to assist them in maintaining contact with the main beat, especially when the rhythm is syncopated. Now let me just try and describe this very quickly. So you have the main beat. The main beat might be a pulse which goes doof, doof, doof. But then you will have other kinds of rhythms and pulses, as it were, which cross and sometimes coincide with this guiding pulse. And of course, the drummers and the dancers have to keep contact with this guiding pulse, especially since some of the rhythms are syncopated. We're going to describe what syncopated rhythm is in our next presentation. But what is very interesting here in this statement is that during these rituals, that's still in our present day take place in Congo and Yoruba land, and I might add that it's not only taking place in some of the African countries, it is taking place in many places around the world, and as you will notice during our seminars, taking place in places which you will least expect them to take place. It is considered, though, in these pagan cultures, that the intricate layers of the multiple rhythmic drumming, in other words the music, the drumming, are considered a primary source of the occult power. Take note of that point very carefully. They believe that it is through the actual language of the music itself, through the drumming, in other words, that the occult experience is actually stimulated, that the experience of the crossroads between the physical and the spiritual worlds is able to take place. In other words, they believe that when you are listening to the music, there is something that is inherent in the music that causes you to reach the state, altered state of mind, state of trance, call it whatever you like. We will discuss trance aspects a little bit more in detail later on. But they believe that the power comes through the music, that the deities that are taking possession of you are coming through the music itself, then taking possession of you, and then you are able to experience that crossroads between the physical and the spiritual worlds. Very interesting study. What we're going to look at next time when we continue in our study is we are going to look very carefully at the elements of the guiding pulse, the repetitious pulse, the syncopated rhythm, and how these different things, from a musicological, from a scientific, in other words, from a neurological point of view, a physical point of view, how they actually affect the human organism and how we respond to them. And we're going to look at the scientific research and very clearly establish whether these things are actually conducive to creating the right atmospheres when you consider the body temple principle. So please do join us when we do this next time. We are getting to some very, very interesting aspects in our study. So thank you for joining us, and we look forward once again to sharing with you in our next study. Goodbye.
Trying the spirits to see if they are of God is a biblical principle that should be used to steer us away from being deceived. As we look at the examples of how music was being used in pagan worship, it is important to compare the fruit that is being created by this form of worship to the fruit that we are supposed to bear as Christians. If you'd like a cassette of this message, please mention today's date along with $7 Canadian and call 1-866-572-9457. That's 866-572-9457. If you have a computer, visit us online at www.amazingdiscoveries.org, where you can listen to past radio broadcasts and watch a video clip of Brian's music series. That's amazingdiscoveries.org. For those wishing to write, please address your letters to Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y3V3. And for those in the US, please write to Box 4480, Blaine, Washington, 98231. I'm Jason Hernberg, and you've been listening to Faith on the Line with Amazing Discoveries. We'd like to leave you with a song now that was produced and arranged by Brian Newman and is entitled Abide With Me. Take care and God bless. Sun. Just been listening to Brian Newman with a song entitled Abide With Me. Brian Newman is touring the US and Canada this fall, sharing his research and insights on music in a number of churches across the country. If you have enjoyed his presentations on the radio, we would greatly appreciate your kind donations to help finance the music series Voices of a Dying Planet, being brought to North America in November. Brian's series have been a blessing to many in the past, and we thank you for being a part of bringing that blessing to others with your donations. Your tax-deductible donations can be sent to Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y3V3, or call us at 1-866-572-9457. Again, your donations are tax-deductible, and you can even call us with a Visa or MasterCard number for quick processing of your donation. Brian's message is a vital one and needs to go out to all churches around the country. If you are interested in booking Brian Newman for a music series in your church, please call the office at 1-866-572-9457.